5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Hello and welcome to ReadyCheck, the podcast where we're the noobs so you don't have to be. This week we'll be talking about tanks. Is their DPS slash healing too high? Specifically talking about the blood spec DKs. Healing's crazy. Does the nerf hammer loom? Who knows? We'll also be talking about TOT opening its gates to the great unwashed. So we're all going in for LFR fun. Talking about how stupidly easy that is, but we'll get onto that as well. We'll also be talking about the race to world first, and I do believe that Relic will be placing a few bets on who he thinks is going to get to the optional boss first, Varden, with its rather cool name. So, introductions, going to be short today. Today is a diet ready check. Two of our panellists are actually away. Toman all the way in Japan, and Melgrim, I think he's on Germany, something like that. With me today, however, is the all-powerful, almighty, blood-specced DK, Relic.
Yeah, boy!
How you doing, man?
I'm alright, how are you?
Not too bad, thanks, man. And I am, of course, Flaps, the godlike disc priest.
Yeah. Can I just say, considering it was Mel who suggested the Monday night, how did he not know he was going to be in Germany?
I don't know. I don't even know if he is in Germany. He's just he set himself to not available at the last minute, so... Who knows what's going on there?
Good old Mel.
Excellent. So let's start the show. Relic, what have you been up to, my friend? What have you been doing?
I've actually been doing dailies, believe it or not.
Wow. You've been forced to?
I wouldn't say I've been forced to. I've had company, which is actually makes the world a difference. If okay. you consider, I think in the first two patches of this expansion, I completed a day's worth of dailies maybe twice.
Nice.
One of the days I actually remember because I did it with one of our guildies, Wabby, because yeah. I was homesick, so we decided to play World of Warcraft all day, as you do when you're ill.
Sometimes I call in sick just to play World of Warcraft. Yeah.
And I actually Valorcapped that week, which was the first time, I think the only time I've Valorcapped this expansion. But no, doing the Thunder Isle. Is it Thunder Isle? Dailies now. I've done them with I'm doing them every day with your missus, taking her off your hands for a bit. I'm sure you appreciate that.
She loves dailies.
I've had you along as well, which was good fun. But it just goes to show that when you've got someone to do your dailies with, it makes the world of difference. So that's what I've been doing. And not much else. I've been trying to gear up my shaman. Because one thing you probably notice I keep banging on in the guild all the time is about having a viable off-spec or a viable ult if you're a raider. And I've not really had it either up until like a month ago when I finally got DPS sorted out on my DK. But I wanted to get a healer geared up just to take... Because we do have four healers in the guild.
Yep.
But because of your work requirements, because three of you have pretty high-pressure jobs... Yeah, sometimes you're called away, and so we're healer short sometimes. So I wanted to pick up the slack on that, being the ever-prepared GM that I am.
Yeah, I mean, that is an important thing. Obviously, you need people to play the different positions in there. Otherwise, when it actually comes to one of those raid nights where one of us can't make it, and perhaps the fourth healer as well is away, then you know, you're not going to get any progress done.
Yeah. So I haven't had much luck gearing up the shaman. I've got a priest that's 465 eye level, but I don't know, I can't get the feel of disc priest this expansion. I don't know why. But I'm quite enjoying the shaman. It's a good
really?
Fun.
Really? Yeah. You're not liking disc priest? That's mental.
I don't see... I think I'm getting over the... My priest was a PvP shadow spec.
Okay.
When I used to play her all the time. And I used to disc heal occasionally. I like the process of disc healing, but I just can't seem to get the throughput that you can, for example. I know you've got better gear than me, but even back in early days. So I think there's just something I'm missing there, so I probably need to have a chat with you about that. But I like splashing water over people with my shaman, so I don't mind so much.
That's fair enough. I mean, yeah. To be honest, all you need to do is go crit spec. Go crit spec and just hit bosses. That's all yeah. I do to I do heal.
I do like out DPSing people on my healer. When I'm doing disc healing, it's pretty cool.
Okay, brilliant. And well, I haven't really been all up to all that much this week. Pretty standard, really. I did the new LFR, which we'll come on to. Being grinding rep. I don't know if you call it sad or I don't know really, but I've started doing the Tiller's Quest again. And the reason is that now I've actually managed to buy my own farm, I want decent furniture. I want my furniture in that house. And I know how good it looks as well, because Honey, my girlfriend, actually has all the rep with those. And I just stopped ages ago. So, sorry, my fiance, I'm getting told off there.
She mentioned to me that she's got all the furniture. I'm going, they do furniture?
Yeah.
I thought it was something that was going to come in, but never got around to it. So, that was amazing.
Well, I'm also quite interested about this as well. I love the fact Blizzard have actually done this. You have your own kind of closed off area. I mean, I wonder how far they're going to take it. Imagine being able to have a proper guild base. And, you know, you could do guild achievements and get different furniture and like a cooking stove in there, for instance. I mean, that's awesome, I think. I think that's definitely the way they got to go.
Yeah, there's been a lot of chatter about that in the last few weeks, especially now that you can own your own farm. There's been a lot more chatter about, is this going to be the start of guild housing? And all the community people are kind of tiptoeing around it. They don't really want to commit. They don't want to flat out say no. But they can't say yes, because then it'll be dance studio all over again.
Yeah,
people wondering when it's coming in.
Maybe that's one of their big announcements at BlizzCon this year.
Yeah, you never know. Yeah, fuck Titan, fuck the next expansion, give us guild housing.
Yeah, exactly. Who wants this Titan game anyway? I haven't even heard of it before today. Excellent. So let's move on to the next section of the show, which is the news section. So one of the things that we wanted to cover, or just briefly talk about really, since 5.2 coming out, and Relic, you're going to be a good person to speak to about this. And let's choose that first of all. So Bloodspec Death Knights.
Yep.
You guys are doing a crazy amount of DPS and healing at the moment. I mean, what do you think? It's too much? Do you see the nerf bats heading towards you at a fast rate, or do you think it's...
Well, I don't see us out DPSing tanks in general. I mean, the other tank that we often go with is a warrior tank, and no, to be fair, he doesn't have the gear that I've got, so his DPS is lower.
Yep.
And the other tank that we go with sometimes is Severity, or Katie,
yep,
who's also a DK. When you see us do insane damage, it's because, thanks to Vengeance, basically.
Yep.
And you have to remember that our healing is based off the damage we get. So if you see insane damage coming through a blood DK, it's because they're taking a shitload of damage, basically. You've got your blood shield absorbs, and then your death strike, which is based off your blood shield and the damage you've taken, and it just goes through the roof. So when we were doing Windlord Melvedek?
Yeah. I like it.
The boss after Garalon? Yeah. Like the last time, our kill, it was me and Katie topping the damage meters and no doubt topping the healing as well.
Yeah.
But that's because we were both getting smacked in the face by 10 mobs.
Okay.
And so our vengeance was through the roof, DPS was through the roof, and that meant also that the healing was through the roof. It's funny because we went into an LFR group through Heartfear a couple of weeks ago, and me being the noob that I am, I pulled every single mob on that boss. They didn't even CC them. I wrote the CC on them, and so I had every single... I think you were there.
I think I was, actually. I remember healing.
Yeah, had every single mob on me, and I think I was doing 250 to 300k DPS or something.
Yeah.
And I had 400,000 vengeance on me, basically. And so, or something insane like that. And I was out healing you guys by a factor of 10 as well. But that's purely because of vengeance and then blood shield. So I wouldn't worry too much about DK healing, and it doesn't require a nerf. Thank you very much. We're doing just as well as anyone else should expect us to do.
So just out of interest, actually, and for someone that I'm trying to get into Death Knight, but Vengeance itself, it's not like an I win button, is it? Is it something that just procs as soon as you get hit? Is that right?
Exactly, yeah. So if you're in a tank spec, as soon as you hit something, you're beginning to bring up Vengeance. It's just something they patched in late Kata, I think, to deal with some threat issues that I think warriors and druids had.
Okay.
And that's it. But what was funny is when MOP first came out and the LFR queues for tanks were outrageously long, is that you had a lot of people, including myself, queuing as DPS in tank spec so that we get the tank gear when it dropped. But to make sure that your DPS wasn't shit, you'd have to taunt the boss now and then just to get smacked in the face and build up vengeance so you could, your DPS would increase, otherwise they'd kick you. fun times.
Excellent. So it's an I win button that you don't even have to press. I like it. You guys got it easy.
Yeah, if you have a tank who can't hold threat on one on a boss, like on a single mob target, then they have serious issues. Either that or some hunter's pet is taunting off them. That's basically how it works.
Which happens a lot in LFR, I should imagine.
Oh yeah.
And talking of LFR, it's a nice segue. This is a nice segue. We're just going to touch on the TOT LFR, which obviously opened up. Have you managed to go in there and blast through it yet?
Yeah, I went through it Wednesday night, I think it was, with your other half again after our dailies. We'd had the benefit of seeing Jinrock already, or I had seen Jinrock, so I knew what to expect there. I had these cut and paste tactics that I was putting into raid chat, so it went pretty smoothly. The trash put between the first and second bosses gave us more issues than the bosses themselves did.
Yeah, that's.
But to sum it all up, from a tank's perspective, I didn't find the fights that much fun. They were really just taunt swap and change targets. Even Jinrock was boring, whereas on normal mode, it's really interesting. Yep. You know, especially when you're wiping for 2.5 hours.
That's always interesting.
But what did you think going in as a ranged person?
Okay, so...
as a healer.
Well, it's weird, actually. So I basically did it twice. So I did the first two bosses last Wednesday night, and I was very excited about doing it, but I should also mention I was also at a work party earlier that evening. Okay, so I was a little worse for wear, and I still managed to kind of top the healing meters and such like that, but I didn't really appreciate the fights. So I did two bosses and then pretty much had to pass out. It was a good night, but I actually got to go in there again as well at the weekend, and I actually went through and did all three bosses. And I must say, the second boss, the name escapes me, the dinosaur dude. Should we do that?
Yeah, Horridan.
That's it, thank you very much.
Yeah,
you know how bad I am with these names. that's probably one of the most boring fights I've done to date. I mean, it's like doing... I'm just trying to remember what bosses were really boring in LFR, actually, beforehand. I found Garalon quite boring. But nothing compared to that one, really. The dinosaur was just... I was so bored. And I think everyone else in the raid was as well, because I know a couple of the healers just went AFK, as people do in LFR.
Yeah, it's one of those funny fights that the ads turn up and just go, oh, there's ads here now. We'll get to them eventually. Yep. Oh, let's ramble over. Hello, ads. We'll hit you now. Whereas when we get to it in normal mode, which we will do this Thursday, by
absolutely.
The way, it will be very much a factor of the ads are up. You should be killing them already. Get over there, blah, blah, blah. We will actually, from the videos that I've seen, even back in PTR testing, it was very much... a requirement to be on target on the spot when you need to be. So there's going to be pressure there for us, which is like really exciting. You know when a good team gels and you get that synchronization and everything's going at the right minute and everything like that.
Yeah.
So I think that's going to make it much more interesting than LFR, as it should be. It shouldn't be LFR with 10 people and better loot. Otherwise, why would we bother raiding?
Yeah, I completely agree. And my favourite word for that kind of gelling together as a guild is chemistry. I like the term chemistry. It's like a bonding of cells when a team comes together. Too far? Is that too far? I don't know, maybe. excellent. So the other thing we wanted to mention as well, and I know this is something that you follow quite closely here, Relic, is the race to world first.
Yeah!
So, you know, you've always got these amazing fights between... I mean, I don't know, I only ever see coverage of European teams and American teams. And I know we got a couple of, is it Korean? I think there's Chinese teams up there now as well, in the top 10 maybe, top 20?
I think there's one Korean team and there's a Taiwanese team.
Okay.
I think that's right. And there's a Russian team there as well, which don't technically count as European because they're on different realm blocks.
Of course, yeah.
But the big ones... right now, it's Paragon, Method, and Blood Legion are leading the way.
No surprise, really, with those names.
Paragon, yeah. Paragon is obviously 10 men now.
Yep.
They've cleared 11 of 13, I think. So they've got the final boss and then the optional boss. Well, then, you know, the quote-unquote optional boss. Which, for these guys, isn't optional. So Paragon have Lei Shen and Raiden left to go, and Method and Blood Legion are both 10 of 13. Then after that, you've got some Russian guild whose name I can't pronounce. And then another six guilds who are all 8 of 13. Now, what was interesting coming into this is that the top two US guild, which were Blood Legion and Exodus, were supposed to be going neck to neck. Because Exodus is a merger of Vodka and Exodus, who were two of the big US guilds.
Yep.
But they lost a shitload of people at the end of the last patch, or the last raiding patch, and so they decided to merge.
Yep.
And they were supposed to put up a huge fight with Blood Legion, but they're not really doing it. I mean, they're 8 of 13, which is nothing to sniff at. They are number 6 in the world rankings out of 10 and 25 guilds. They're number 5 out of the 25-man guilds. But they are, you know... 5th to Blood Legion, 2nd in the 25 rankings at the moment, so they're not really putting up the fight people thought they would.
Yeah, it's a bit of a weird one, because with their experience and obviously the two guilds coming together, some of their main players that came across, I know they obviously both left, so lost some very valuable players as well, and the whole kind of people burning out at the end of the last tier, but still, you'd expect them to be a bit further up there, I think. Do you reckon they're still going to make a comeback, or are they going to stay around this position?
I think they will, but I'm wondering if they're suffering a bit from the clash of cultures between the two guilds when they came together. Because when one of the guys from Vodka, I think it was talking on Reddit about it, back when the merger first happened, they said that they are two very different guilds. They all have the same aims, but how they go about it is quite different.
Okay.
So that will be interesting to see if they do manage to pick up a few slots over the European guild that are ahead of them. Because you've got that Russian guild at number 4, and then Apex from Alakia EU is above them at number 5. So they need to leapfrog a few people to begin challenging Blood Legion. But I think at this point, it's going to come down to can Blood Legion get over Method to get the number 1 for 25.
It's mostly 25 teams up there again, isn't it? There's not many 10 teams, is there? Or
no, we've got two 10-man teams in the top 10. So you've got Dream Paragon, number 1, obviously. And then you've got an EU guild from Destromath called Moons, who I've not heard of before, but I don't know if they've resized down from 25-man or what. But, I mean, my feeling is, when it comes to heroic rating, 25-man is perceived to be the place to be, and so I tend to think the best raiders tend to gravitate towards 25-man.
Yeah.
So that's... personally, that's why I think all the top guilds are 25-man guilds, because that's seen as being the challenging environment.
Yeah, absolutely. I remember there was a lot of talk about, obviously, especially when Paragon went 10-man, people saying that 10-man's easiest, and so should it count as a world first and such like that. But or should they be in the leader table? But I think they do. I think doing it 10-man or 25-man, you're still doing the same tactics. It's still the same, isn't it? I mean, certain bosses are going to be a bit easier 25, and certain bosses easier on 10, just because of the way the mechanics work. But I think in general, it's going to be fair across the board. I don't think there's much to say there. Brilliant. And if you had to actually part with some of your hard-earned money, who would you put your money on at the moment?
If I was a smart man, I would go for Method to get the first 25. I mean,
yeah,
Paragon's going to get the world first. I don't know about Raiden, but they'll get the world first for Lei Shen, definitely. If I was a smart man, I'd go for Method. Simply because Blood Legion have broken my heart before. But Blood Legion are the guild for me. I have a huge respect for Blood Legion. I know in the EU they're kind of sneered at because they are these loudmouth Americans, but they've got some real characters in there and a lot of people do really contribute to the community as well. So, and plus, yep. Ragnaros is... That's the raid leader I want to be when I grow up.
That's who you aspire to.
Yeah, I'm going to end up screaming at people and calling them fucking idiots one day. When I snap, I'll be turning into Ragnaros.
It's going to be one of those situations. More dots, more dots!
Are you fucking kidding me?
I do have to admire your patience, and I raided it for the first time in quite a while this week, and it was quite a casual raid. It was only the vaults, so it was nothing too hectic, and there was not really any tactics that need describing in too much detail. But there were a couple of times when I kind of just wanted to shout at people for standing in stuff or not doing exactly what you're meant to do. It's like, no, must calm down. So I do admire your patience to raid lead all the time, you and Toman especially.
But, yeah, the way that Dave does it though is Dave can call people out and call them idiots without actually calling them idiots. He just has this tone to him where it's like, okay, you shouldn't be doing that. You should be doing this, and you just feel like about an inch tall.
It's like he puts on his daddy voice.
Yeah,
if you can see his face, he's got the eyes.
Yeah, when he's up stuffing his face with strudel. Yeah.
Yeah, that's true as well, yeah. The raid leader that likes to eat a lot.
Yeah. And you can tell when you can see the video footage back.
You can see exactly when someone's done something bad. I mean, I could actually, if you gave me his face, just the way he does his streaming, by the way, everyone, is he puts kind of a small camera himself. I think it's quite a common thing nowadays. He has his web camera on so you can see his reactions to stuff. And you can see as soon as someone stands in fire or someone's disobeyed his order, because his face just turns into this dad face. Gets the stare on. Right, brilliant. So we're going to move on to our next section, which is called... Well...
We gonna die!
There we go. Once more, please. Once more.
We gonna die!
Fantastic. So this is the section of the show where we just try to talk through, obviously, some of the challenges we have to deal with as Harvest Moon, our guild. Albeit I deal with a lot less challenges than Relic, because I am just a standard player. Relic, obviously being the guildmaster, I think gets whispered as soon as he logs on most days. And not just people saying hi. We're also going to talk through, obviously, a few things like what to expect in TOT and stuff like that. And just try and go through some of the guild issues that we go through, so that the listeners out there, you guys know how to deal with these things, or perhaps we don't know how to deal with them. Perhaps you'd like to give us some insight, which you can feed back on, and we'll give that address at the end of the show. But to start off, just a little thing here. Harvest Moon managed to progress in Heart of Fear this week. We managed to get... Well, which bosses did we get down?
We got down Windlord.
Hey!
And Amber. Woo! We got Amber down. So, yes, we're doing our best to clean up T14. Purely for the progress charts, but also, you know, you want to get the raids cleared out before the end of the expansion. So, yeah, and also it helps get gear up for some of the new people in the raid team, and also people who have not had a chance to get any drops yet. So that was really cool. It was good to finally get Windlord, what's his face, down. And it was quite easy as well once we actually... Because Ripper, who's our one of our officers, who's a raid strategist, basically, appointed by myself.
It's a very fancy title.
So people don't have to listen to my strategies, which is usually kill one of those, I don't know which. we'll see what happens. So he came up with the idea of, instead of CCing one of each mob, CCing two of the menders, get the other member down ASAP, and then it was just a cakewalk from there. I think we two-shot that boss, and one of those pulls was a fluff.
Yep.
we kind of pulled, and I pulled, and no one was really ready, and I broke the CC or something straight away. So we just reset it, and then we came back and we one-shot it.
Absolutely. So, and it was a good feeling as well, getting a boss down. I mean, I know that it's obviously been nerfed, and I'm pretty sure there's going to be some people out there saying, ho, 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 we got that down ages ago. But, you know, for our guild and for what we look to achieve, I think it was a fantastic feat. And not only one progression boss, Windlord, of course, but also two progression bosses. Went on to Amber Shaper, and it took us a couple more attempts.
Yeah, I think it took us 4 or 5 attempts. But overall, the raid knot was really good. I mean, I talked to a lot of guild leaders from around the world of Warcraft.
This is some kind of secret group.
I talked to a lot of guys on Twitter from the EU and from the US, and the guilds that are at our level of play are in the same place as us. They're finishing up Heart of Fear and they're hoping to get into Terrace soon, while also poking at Throne of Thunder. So for a guild that raids 5 hours a week, we're doing really good at this point, I reckon. We'll be in Terrace on Sunday. We're going in on Sunday with a renewed lockout, and we'll get Empress down. We had one pull on Empress on Thursday. Was it Thursday we went in? Wasn't it?
It was, yep, yep.
Yeah, and we got her down to 70%, and we weren't even trying. So we're going to get her down quite easily, and we'll be on to Terrace, and then we'll clear out that patch and concentrate on Throne of Thunder full time.
So I was also going to say, when we actually took down Amber Shaper, I think we had, was it 2 people alive? I think it was. We didn't even have that.
Do you know who
constructs.
It was the 2DKs, boy, that's right. 2DKs were alive. Oh, yeah.
The ones just using Vengeance just to stay alive. Outheal the healers, out DPS the DPS as well. Nerf. Seriously, you're going to get nerfed. There's got to be a nerf hammer coming.
No, we're good. But yeah, the last 2 people alive were the 2DKs, because we're the best.
Not going to argue.
And we weren't the ones being put into construct things, so maybe that was why.
Possibly. But it did take a little while for everyone to get used to the constructs, I think, as it does with any kind of vehicle fight, really. I mean, this happened all along. I remember when Aldor first started, people were so confused. And that first boss, Leviathan? Wow, look at that. I actually remember the name of a boss.
I remember the first time I went in there, it was I jumped in a motorbike and was going, okay, I'm just going to ride around while you guys fight this boss. And just me doing laps and going, vroom, vroom.
I think that's pretty much what most people tended to do as soon as they got into that instance. Anyway, back onto the show before we go too far off there. We also just want to talk a bit about, obviously, the guild issues that we're having. I mean, I wouldn't really say they're issues. It's not like we're going to go different directions. The guild's going to split up and everything's going to end. It's going to be the worst day ever. It's just a few of the small stuff we go on and going on at the moment and how we deal with it. So one of the first things that we're seeing, we've had a couple of people burning out, I think is probably the right way of putting it, after the last tier. Specifically, I should imagine, after the amount of time we took on Garalon. So, Relic, I mean, we've obviously seen a couple of our core raiders looking to take a break now. And that obviously hits our team quite hard in terms of wanting to progress and stuff like that. But, I mean, how do you think we're going to deal with this and obviously continue? And what are your tactics, really, for the teams you're going to be taking to TOT?
Well, I think... I'm not going to name names of these people, but
of course.
One of them... is someone that we relied on a lot, and so he barely ever saw the bench. So I think, especially when we were progressing through Elegon and Garalon, he was seeing that every week.
Yep.
Or, you know, twice a week. Whereas some other people were not seeing it as often, so weren't being, you know, pushed against the wall as much. So I think the trick is just to balance that bench a bit more and make sure people are taking breaks. And I mean, there's some people, I mean, me, I will raid 5 hours a week. I will raid every night if I want to. Well, obviously I will if I want to. But if that's what's needed, I'll show up, and I love it. I love beating my head against a boss for 2.5 hours. But it is making sure that there's that balance. I have the benefit now of everyone on the team almost getting to the same level. Because we did have a few stragglers who were coming late to the team or hadn't had the time to gear up early on. But, I mean, we've got a new mage in the guild now. He's done a great time gearing up. His DPS is great now. And we've had a hunter who's come back into the raid team now. And his gear has gotten better. And everyone's at a good level now. So people can start taking a few more breaks. And it's basically just keeping an eye on people. Because I've said this to the guild before, but I don't think they believe me, is that I pay attention to everyone.
Yeah.
And everyone's performance and everyone's attitude. And, I mean, the quiet ones, even the quiet ones, I'm watching you guys. but I care about everyone. I care about everyone in the guild and how they're getting on. So that's the trick, is to make sure that people aren't burning out. And if they are burning out, then give them the chance to take a break without the risk of them losing their place. So, you know, when they are ready to come back, then we work them back into the raid.
Okay, I mean, that brings up quite an interesting question, actually, and I'm going to put you on the spot here as well. So you say you're listening out to everyone, even the quiet ones and stuff like that. I mean, the vocal ones, if they're getting burnt out, they'll be like, oh my God, I can't stand this anymore, WTF, you know, FML kind of stuff. The quiet ones, they're not going to shout out about it, and I'm sure there's some guilds out there as well and who have the same problem. But, I mean, what are the kind of telltale signs, would you say, to one of the quiet members in your raid group being a bit burnt out and perhaps needing a bit of a rest, but not wanting to lose their spot?
I mean, the quiet ones are the ones I talk to privately a bit more, I think. The vocal ones I tend to ignore because they talk too much.
That's what it is.
So, I mean, I know the quiet ones. I know the ones who aren't going to speak up. So I'll chat with them in private and just see how things are going.
Yeah, I suppose that's the main thing. Communication.
Yeah, and if they're getting a bit fed up or if they're feeling that they're dragging us behind, then it's just reassuring them that they're not, or helping them work on whatever issues they think they've got. But, I mean, I'm a quiet guy myself. I don't talk a great deal. You know, except when I'm podcasting, I tend to talk a little bit more. You know, I know what it's like to be the quiet guy in the guild who can't speak up on things.
Yep.
But there you go. It's all about empathy.
It is. And it's a lot of pressure for GMs to be able to spot stuff like that. I think you do a fantastic job in Harvest Moon. I mean, it's a fantastic guild. And I suppose one of the other things I've also started to notice as well is there used to be there was a lot more people online. So there was a lot more social interaction when the dailies first came out and everyone had not 5.2 dailies. People seem to be ignoring those a little bit. But especially when Cataclysm came out, you know, you had you had tens or twenties, maybe thirties of people during the daytime, just all doing the new dailies and such and trying to get their rep. We've seen that go down a bit more. So, and again, for any guilds out there as well, I mean, what are the kind of tactics that we can put in place from here to try and get people on more? I mean, I can name one that we've certainly started doing, and it's one of our officers started doing as well. She's basically put up some extra nights in the week. So we do a guild LFR night, which I think is a fantastic tool. You know, LFR is pretty boring at the best of times. But if you actually go with the rest of your guild, you're on Mumble, you're on Ventrilo, TeamSpeak, whatever your flavour, you know, you can sit there, have a good laugh, talk about stuff, and slag certain healers who don't heal, stuff like that, you know.
Yeah.
What other things could we possibly do?
Well, I think it's making sure that the guild's a home for social people as well as raiders. I think there is a danger of non-raiders being overlooked sometimes. So one of our officers, JD, she's doing a great job in making sure that the social people are welcomed and there's a place for them. Because some social people do like raiding, but they like doing the old stuff with the transmog runs and everything like that. So just making sure there's a home for them like that. And we have seen some new members coming in, which is good, and they don't really care about joining the raid team. They just want to be having a social place to hang out, which is great. But, I mean, numbers are always going to drop as an expansion goes on, because you'll get people who come back for the first month or so just to check it out. You know, they'll buy the expansion and they'll pay for a month's worth of game time, and that's it. That's all they care about.
Yeah, absolutely. And I suppose another thing that I think you said you were going to be organising, and this is a good way, you know, a good time to actually say about it as well. You said you were going to start doing some cross-realm stuff for some of the 5.0 raids. Is that still going ahead? Or
yeah, I just have to find time for it. It's what the guild did when we first started out. We did all the T11 stuff cross-realm with people from Reddit and Twitter. So yeah, that's something I'll try and sort out again. It's a good Saturday night type thing to do.
Yep.
Although I think we used to do it on Mondays, but Saturday's a good night for that. You know, do it. Start off at 10 o'clock at night when everyone's a bit tipsy from their day's frivolities, and have a great ball with it, because you can just kind of steamroll through that old content now. And meet friends, because I mean, myself and a couple of the other officers have a lot of friends across the world of Warcraft on various realms via Twitter and via Reddit, and it's good to get into groups with them.
Yeah, I think it's a fantastic idea, and obviously when we actually do start doing those, make sure you're following us on Twitter, guys, because that's at ReadyCheck, because obviously we'll be spamming up all day on that those days when we're going to be putting that group together, and once it's full, it's full. And obviously if we do start getting a bit more interest, then possible we could put a second team together, but that's long down the road. Let's get it started first of all.
So cross realm normal mode, cross realm heroic mode, let's see what we can put together.
Sounds good bit of fun.
It'll be good fun.
And that goes for, obviously, if you're bored of your guild, you just want to do a bit of raiding, then come on, just jump on, bit of a laugh.
Yeah, exactly.
And This flows well, actually. And something to help you do this, we're going to go into the mod of the week. Something to help you raid better. So I'm going to take this one this week, and I'm going to explain my favourite mod and why I love it. So it's a mod called Sexy Cooldowns. Do you use this relic?
I don't think so. Name doesn't ring a bell. What's it do?
So Sexy Cooldown is essentially a bar. It's a sexy cooldown bar. So you can have this as big as you want, kind of thing. And you have it, I have it down the bottom of my screen, and it will basically count down. It gives a nice precise countdown of when your spells are coming back up. Being a disc priest especially, I've got a lot of spells that I have to use on cooldown. Things like Spirit Shield and Penance and stuff like that. And Solace now as well. So this is one of the major things for me. Now, not only does it cool down, it kind of tracks down the bar as it's happening, but it also kind of pops out at the end of it. I know it sounds really simple, and it is a simple idea, but it's just one of the best mods I've ever come across. And Relic, I definitely suggest getting this one.
Okay.
Like I said, it's just a good way of making sure you're keeping all your cooldowns up and you're using them as soon as they come available.
Is there anything like Fort Exorcist? Or whatever it's called.
A little bit. So I use Fort Exorcist as well. Or Exorcist, sorry. So they had a cooldown bar on that, but it wasn't as configurable. So I use Fort Exorcist. God, I can't say that word. I still use Fort. And I disable the cooldown bar on that, and I use Sexy Cooldown instead. And I'm pretty sure the other healers in the team as well, Melgrim and Tommen, or Toe Man, sorry, you'll love that. I'm pretty sure they use it too. So yeah, you can get that on Curse, just on the standard Curse. So I don't know if you don't, get the software. It's amazing. It helps keep everything up to date.
Yeah.
But if not, just install it from the actual website manually. And it's definitely one that will improve your raiding, I think, twofold.
So Sexy Cooldown.
Sexy Cooldown, that's it.
All right, I'll look
excellent.
Into that.
And I'll put a tweet up after the show with the link to the Curse site as well.
Excellent.
Fantastic. And sadly, I think that brings us to the end of the show. Wap, wap, wap. It's been a bit of a diet show this week, so obviously we didn't have Toman or Tommen or Melgrim, but hopefully they will be back and joining us for next week. Please remember, guys, if you've got any questions, if you want to say you like the show, you want to say you hate the show, you want to say how much you love Relic's voice, then just send it along to our email address, which is mailbag@readycheck.co.uk. And thanks for listening, everyone. Join us next week for episode number 3.
Hooray.
See you later.
All right. Cheers, guys. Bye-bye.